We were lucky. The Moonside Training Center was on the opposite side of the moon colony from the control center, so our chances of running into Bo and his girls were slim. Bo was a cocky SOB, and we could use that to our advantage. He wasn't even going to consider beginning to conceive that we might be loose and ready to toss an extra-large wrench into his plan to destroy Earth. As we drove closer to the Side Training Center, I felt the tension all around the moon colony. The sense of unease was palpable. Many of the moon's inhabitants were afraid of Bo's actions. They were just more afraid to say anything against them. It was my hope that by tilting the tables against Bo, more people would slip over to our side. It wasn't long until we arrived at the center, a nondescript-looking purple building. It was larger than most of the other buildings on the moon, but still boxy and seemingly made out of plastic blocks. Carol and I got out of the shuttle and casually walked toward the building.
So, what's the plan?
Why does everybody always ask me that?
One, you're supposed to be the leader. And two, nobody ever thinks you have a plan.
We're gonna walk up to the door, knock on it, then explain our cause to Shara.
Then what?
Hope for the best.
I know you think a partial, half-baked plan is better than no plan at all, but I am starting to question that.
Have faith, my holographic friend. Have faith.
What makes you think that Shara will side with us? She is holding her own daughter prisoner.
Just a hunch, going on what I hear, and noticing the Bo Sputnik Senate events that Shara hasn't been at.
So you are basically basing your hunches about Shara on hearsay and absence of information?
Pretty much.
Oh, I'm going to miss Earth.
Carol and I walked up the steps to the door of the training center. I reached for the door chime.
Come in.
We walked into a large open reception area. A woman, who I assumed was Shara, was sitting in a large chair facing the door. She had three puppies in her lap she was softly petting. She was flanked by two large males wearing purple tunics, one bald, one with long light blue hair.
Shara, I presume?
Yes, that's her.
Mr. Johnson, I was expecting you an hour ago.
Sorry, been busy. You know, trying to save the Earth and all.
Well, now you have even less time.
She may have been Melda's twin sister, but she appeared to be an older version of her. She had short dark hair done up in a bun and fair features. She was attractive, in an old school marm and purple hot pants kind of way.
Is purple the official color of the moon?
We don't have time for your silly questions. I assume you want my aid in your gripe against Boris.
Gripe? He's trying to destroy Earth.
Earth has not treated us well at all. They treat us like we are their poorer, uglier, dumber little sibling. They want things from us, but don't give anything to us besides their toxic waste.
Yeah, still, you can't let 15 billion people die.
Perhaps, though my calculations are that not all 15 billion will die. A few thousand will survive, probably. Well, lucky for you, I've been paying attention to all that has happened to you since you arrived here. I believe you have a chance to stop Bo. I will help you.
Shara led us through the corridors of the Psi Training Center. Pretty quiet group you have here.
Yes, in fact, the entirety of the moon is quiet now. We are unsure about the future. Even the strongest precogs have no idea.
How come?
Too many variables.
Yes, Mr. Johnson. When it comes to you, the odds somehow get skewed.
Is that good or bad?
Time will tell. Time will tell.
We reached the room Elena was being kept in. She was lying on a bed. She had a metallic helmet on her head that was connected to a machine on the side of the bed. As we entered the room, Shara walked up to the control panel for the helmet. The headband on Elena started to blink frantically, then faded out. Shara pointed to the band with two fingers, then motioned them away from the bed. She sat right up.
Where the DOS am I?
You are in the Psi Center. You are safe.
Elena looked fiercely at Shara, then looked at me.
She's trying to hide it, but she's betrayed you.
I don't think so. She helped us free you so we can stop Sputnik. I don't think she would have tipped him off.
Not Sputnik. Earth.
I popped Gus into my hand and pointed him at Shara. Is that true?
It's not what you think.
You turned your back on your own people, so Earth will repay you.
Okay, so it is what you think. But Sputnik's ideal world doesn't match mine. He has to be stopped. I'm not looking for much. Maybe my own reality HV series. I can share my knowledge with the masses and make a tidy profit to boot.
But tipping off Earth doesn't help matters at all. Earth can't stop the asteroids.
Really?
Everyone in the room nodded yes.
DOS. Mo was always the one who figured out those little details. Oh, well. I have faith in you all now. That's what matters.
Great. That in 100 credits gets us a cup of real coffee.
You do realize Earth will retaliate and destroy the moon?
No. I never thought about that either.
So you're dooming the planet we love.
It's not truly a planet, my dear.
So it's quite possible because of you, we could be up a creek without a paddle.
I'm not sure I understand your statement.
Oh! I clobbered her on the head with Gus. She may have trusted us, but I sure didn't trust her. I pointed to Elena's bed. Let's hook her up to that.
With pleasure.
After Elena and Carol strapped Chara into the side bed, I had Harv get me through to Ona. Harv's holographic form morphed into hers.
Zack, I'm kind of busy now.
Yeah, I know. Planning a retaliatory strike against the moon.
How did you know that? Never mind. I should know you'd know that.
Ona, I'm still on the moon.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. If you can't get off the moon soon, I'm afraid you're going to die.
I'm gonna stop that asteroid from hitting the Earth.
That would be ideal. All our people here say we don't have time to destroy it ourselves. Even if we hit it with a missile, Earth would just be hit with multiple mini-planet-killing rocks instead of one big one.
All I ask is that you give me time before you go firing off missiles.
I'll talk to my people and see how long I can give you.
Ms. Ona, why even launch missiles at the moon? If Zack and I stop the asteroid, there will be no need. Even if we fail, what is gained by destroying the moon?
That's just the way the worlds work. Earth can't be seen as weak, even in death. We will be evacuating as many people as we can. Those people need to let the other planets know Earth people are not to be taken lightly.
But why punish a million people on the moon because of the actions of a small handful of people?
I guess she didn't want an answer.
I'm betting we wouldn't want to hear the answer. How much time do we have?
To stop the asteroid from hitting the Earth, or to stop the Earth from launching missiles at the moon?
Both. There was no time to waste pondering the folly of each side's actions. I swear, when it comes to politics and relationships, politicians believe might always makes right. And even if two wrongs don't make a right, maybe three or four will. I turned to my team of Elena, Carol, and Harv. Let's go to the tracking and blocking station and save two worlds.
What about the other sides here? Will they side with us?
They're young and scared. They won't fight for us, but they won't hinder us either. None of the Sai still here are Bo's children.
What about the older Sai on the planet, not related to or married to Bo?
They won't help us. They're too scared of Bo's women.
I scratched my head. I knew we were going to be badly outnumbered. It might have helped tip the scales if we could convince some of the other Sai there to come to our side. The older ones were set in their ways. Years of conditioning by Bo's family would be hard to overcome in a few minutes. Still, with the younger ones, if I could appeal to their feral nature, I might have a chance. Is there a large classroom in the building?
Yes.
Tell the students to meet us there pronto.
What are you going to tell them?
I have no idea.
I was afraid he was going to say that.
Less than 5 minutes passed before I was standing at the front of a classroom auditorium, looking up at about 300 seats spread across the room. Each of the seats was filled with young, anxious, blue-haired kids. The kids were mostly young girls, ranging from probably 10 to 17, but there were some boys sprinkled in the crowd.
So none of Sputnik's kids are here?
No, his are all home-trained.
Good.
I turned to the classroom. You're probably wondering why I called you here.
You want us to help you stop Mr. Sputnik?
Exactly. If you don't help me now, the moon and the Earth will both be destroyed.
But we can't go against the Sputnik daughters. They're too powerful.
Besides, they're fellow Sides.
I'm not asking you to fight them. I'm just asking you to help me. I'll stop them. Then I'll prevent Earth from launching its missiles at the moon.
How?
If you can all cloak us, we can get the drop on Sputnik and his family. There was looks of confusion all around.
He means we can surprise them.
Earth doesn't treat us well at all.
True, but nobody gains anything from killing everybody. Once this is over, Earth and Moon will be united again.
Will the Moon be free?
I will do my best to make sure that happens. I didn't know if that was a good sign or a bad sign when they all just sat there. Just then, Harv appeared in the middle of the room. He was dressed in a casual tweed suit, wearing glasses, and carrying an old-fashioned wooden pointer.
May I have your attention, please, class?
All eyes turned to Harv. Harv aimed the pointer at me.
I know this man does not look like much. I know he doesn't look like he could save a cat from a tree, which, by the way, he couldn't, as he has a fear of heights. But I digress. I have known this man for many years now. I can say unequivocally, if he says he can do something, he can do it. Doss, he's saved the world more times than some of you teens have had dates. You know who you are. Zack is the man who can save you and the Earth.
I had to admit it felt good.
Eventually, I held my hands up to quiet the crowd.
I just need you all to start sending out mixed thoughts. Clocus, confuse them. Make sure none of your relatives join in to help the Sputniks.
The room gave me a collective nod. I turned to Carol and Elena.
Okay, it's go time.
Heading over to the tracking and blocking station, we saw that the streets of the moon had become abandoned. Sputnik apparently didn't want to deal with any of his less loyal subjects, so they were all requested to stay at home until after they heard him make a special and very important broadcast. In a way, that was good news for us, as it cut down on our chances of somebody spotting us and ratting us out as we rushed through what could only be described as a very shiny plastic ghost town. Summing up our assets, I figured on the plus side of the ledger we had a bunch of heavily armed apes, the firepower of Gus, the considerable mental powers of Elena and Carol, Harv's seemingly limitless access to information, and my wits. That was more than enough to handle almost any situation. Unfortunately, this wasn't almost any situation. We were up against a well-armed contingent of confused apes, at least 100 very powerful Psis, and a madman bent on destroying Earth. To make matters more complicated, we had two ticking clocks to deal with. Earth had missiles heading toward the moon. The moon had pushed an asteroid of extinction-level proportions toward the Earth. True, we'd programmed the tractor beam to push the asteroid away, but if we didn't take over the tracking and blocking station or put it out of commission, that would all be for naught. We were outnumbered and didn't have time on our side, but so far we had the element of surprise going for us. Both Sputnik and all his administrator glory never conceived that something could go wrong with this plan. How are the other Earthers doing?
They are awake, but still not mentally alert. It'll be an hour or so until they will be of any assistance.
We don't have that kind of time.
I know. I was just making sure you knew that.
I'm not as dense as most of my enemies and many of my friends believe.
I know that, my cute friend. Because if you were, you would have been dead long ago.
Smart ape.
Priscilla lowered her eyes and looked away from me.
Oh no. What is it now?
Zack, I hate to pile on.
Don't worry. I'm used to the universe kneeing me in the groin when I'm down.
My primates and I have no problem taking on Sputnik and his wives and offspring. Or bots, but...
But you won't fire on your fellow apes.
We figured if we did that, we'd be lowering ourselves to human level. Nothing personal. But we apes strive to be more than human.
I can identify.
I can't blame you.
When the driver signaled that we were now within a few hundred meters of the tracking and blocking center, we ditched the car and went the rest of the way on foot. We met up with the rest of Priscilla's apes, who were being led by Maurice. He gave me a polite salute with his feet.
I am glad to be fighting on your side, Mr. Johnson.
I'm glad you're on my side. What's the situation?
I have my great apes positioned all around the building. Give us the word and we will fight for our freedom.
Let me take a look at things first.
Follow me.
How many apes does Sputnik have backing him?
Most of my fellows are staying out of this until they see how it plays out.
How many?
Maybe 300.
Maybe?
Okay, 312.
How many do we have on our side?
33.
We crawled up behind some bushes and surveyed the situation. The outer rim of the tracking dome was surrounded by a small army of apes. Those apes were backed up by about 20 Psis. If that wasn't enough, the Psis were supported by three big battle bots. They all looked pretty relaxed, as they didn't expect any major trouble. I smiled. That was gonna change really fast. We just needed to hit them hard before they knew what hit them. Of course, by hit them hard, I meant taking the apes out without really hitting them too hard.
Zack, I need to push the asteroid out of the way now. If I wait any longer, we run the risk of it grazing Earth.
That would be bad.
Very good, Zack.
I looked over at Priscilla and Maurice, who were bent over next to me. A couple of their apes were behind us. I could smell the apprehension on them, and it wasn't a pleasant smell.
We don't want our fellow apes hurt.
Yeah, I haven't forgotten. How long until the big push, Harv?
I can give you 20 more seconds.
Gee, thanks.
18 seconds.
I looked at Priscilla, anxiously looking at me. It's never comforting to see an ape fidgeting, itching her back with her foot, scratching her head, and fiddling with her pie-high pod. The pie-high pod. That was it. All you apes wear pie-high pods, right?
Yes.
Of course.
12 seconds.
Push it out of the way now, Harv. Harv's eyes flashed red for a nano or two.
Done.
You have the specs to the pods, right?
Of course.
Priscilla, tell your people to remove their pie-high pods.
She scratched her head, then smiled.
You heard the man, Maurice.
Maurice signed to the apes. Each relayed the sign to another.
Harv, Apes have more sensitive ears than humans, correct?
You want me to broadcast a high-frequency pitch over the Pahypods.
Bingo.
I can generate and broadcast a tone over the Pahypods that will put apes out of commission, but it's going to hurt all the neutral apes, too.
Serves them right for standing on the sidelines.
I looked at Priscilla, who nodded in agreement.
I can do you two better. I can also make it so the tone really upsets the size and scrambles the BattleBots' logic circuits.
Now who says supercomputers can't be useful?
Surely no one with even a quarter of a brain.
I turned to Carol to see that she had already removed hers.
One step ahead of you, Theo.
Zap him.
Outside of a barely noticeable increase in Harv's smile, I didn't see any other changes.
Did you do it?
Harv pointed to the apes ringing the complex. They were all rolling on the ground, clutching their ears, and the size behind the apes were frantically pulling at their ears. I took that as a yes. The three BattleBots were spinning on their wheels, doing 360s, waving their tentacles. I pointed forward.
Let's take out the size and grab the building.
I looked at Maurice. He shook his head no.
Sorry, Zach. I'm a behind-the-scenes kind of ape. Actual fighting is so not my style.
I understand.
Don't worry, though. I will make sure all of my kin stay out of the fray.
We stormed the building. Carol, Elena, Harm, a squad of apes, and me. The opposition apes were in too much pain to put up any opposition at all, so we glided past them. We reached the door to the complex without losing anybody. Of course, that was the easy part. Elena and Carol had both noted that the initial size were all young and still low level. I led the charge into the moon's asteroid tracking and blocking station. Sputnik was frantically working away at the main control panel in the middle of the room. Leia stood behind, eyeing us. Sputnik's other daughters were spread throughout the building. They had removed their Pahypods and were converging on us. A good many of the younger size were lying on the ground. Apparently, our initial attack had taken them out. Despite that, there had to be at least a dozen other children and wives of Sputnik ready to stop us at all costs. One of our apes fired a stun blast at three young size. The blast swerved past them and hit a wall. The size pointed at the ape. He and two of his companions stopped their charges. Then they flew backward into the wall. Our other ape allies weren't faring that well either. Without the element of shock and awe on our side, the size were able to avoid most of the apes' blasts. The apes weren't so lucky. General Tang was leading the defense against the apes. She ran over to block Elena.
Sorry, young one. You won't get past me.
Elena ran right past her without seemingly giving her a thought. Obviously, though, Elena did shoot a bit of her attention at Tang. The moment she passed her, Tang fell over, frozen, locked in the pointing position.
Impressive. Elena took Tang out as an afterthought.
Carol covered my and Priscilla's backs. She wasn't as flamboyant as Elena, but she was just as effective. She was aptly deflecting any mental or physical attacks that would come my way. So far, we were winning the battle. The problem was, the war wasn't over yet. Sputnik's biggest guns, Leia and Melda, hadn't even entered the conflict. I wasn't gonna let that bother me, though. I couldn't let that bother me. Now that we'd taken out the excess size, it was time to concentrate on Sputnik. I was actually a bit perturbed that he didn't even seem to be worried that we were storming the room. Harv, any idea what Sputnik is up to?
Yes, of course.
And?
He is trying to regain control of the deflector beam and push the asteroid back into Earth.
I aimed Gus at Sputnik. Elena, Carol, and Priscilla were all hit with separate shots from Gus. The three of them fell to the ground.
Gus! That wasn't what I wanted!
Sorry, boss.
Gus flew from my hand into Melda's.
Oh, this is so not good.
The only people or animals left standing in the room were me, Sputnik, Melda, Leia, and April. We had come so close, but I was starting to worry that it wasn't close enough. I was outnumbered and outgunned. My only hope was that I wasn't outsmarted.
Harv, are you still with me?
Of course. My programming and defenses are significantly more robust than Gus. I've learned much after our little encounter at the North Pole last year and the earlier incident at the convention center.
Can't you ever simply say yes?
Obviously I can, but I choose not to.
Has he managed to get control of the deflector beam yet?
No, of course not. Oops, didn't see that coming.
Didn't see what coming?
I've activated the backup deflector beam on the other side of the moon.
Harv, how come you didn't know there was a backup?
Because it's not in any of the specs.
That's because the Council didn't have the foresight to envision the need for a backup. That was my idea.
Listen, Sputnik, it's not too late.
It is too late for Earth. I just pushed the asteroid back into Earth's path.
Then you're dooming the Earth and the Moon.
What are you talking about?
Shara has tipped off the Earth and they're retaliating.
Damn that bitch. No wonder I never slept with her.
She's my sister.
So? How does that affect me?
I'm just saying you shouldn't call her a bitch. It's degrading.
People, can we please try to concentrate on the task at hand here?
Oh, right. Destroying the Earth.
Push the asteroid back away from Earth, and I'll contact them and have them stop their missiles. Sputnik stood there, motionless. His face turned red with a mix of anger and frustration. Leia looked up at the Dome Observatory.
I do see missiles coming in from Earth.
But Sputnik remained motionless. I couldn't tell if he had snapped, was deep in thought, or both. It's not too late.
It is too late for humans. My escape shuttle is ready, so my family and I will survive. All is well. Actually, this is even better than I had planned. The new world we built will be totally pure.
Sorry to burst your dream of Adam and Eve and Eve and Eve, but building a world with just your progeny is no way to start a new civilization.
Melda, Leia, squash him like the bug he is.
Melda took a step back, distancing herself from her husband. Moving toward him, Leia curled her hand into a fist.
You lied to me.
Lie? Me? How?
Harv, can you push that asteroid past Earth again?
Already on it. Just keep them busy.
So, Leia, you're the one who killed the council members.
Yes. Once we had the passcodes to take their cameras offline, I turned my body into energy, entered the room, and killed them all.
He probably told you, kill a few people for the good of many.
Yes.
He told you that by killing three people, you would not only free your own people, but also save the lives of billions on Earth.
Yes.
He had you convinced that by killing those people, Earth would change its mind, and we wouldn't be where we are right now.
Yes.
Now look where you are, about to kill billions, including your own people.
I didn't plan it like this, but truly, it's the better way. This way, only the extreme best genes survive. The new race we start will be incredible.
You're powerful, Leia, but you're not a god.
But you should be. You should be.
That's why I killed Uncle Mo. He wanted Elena and me to be gods.
You killed my brother?
I mentally commanded him to crash his shuttle. He had discovered a way of unlocking that part of the mind that Elena and I keep locked up, our subconscious safe ties. Once I picked that from his mind, I learned how to convert my body into energy. I learned so much more. My and Elena's minds are so powerful. I can see the strings of the molecular structure that bind you all together. I could rearrange you all into turnips if I pleased.
Incredible.
Yes. Power like this cannot be trusted with Elena. That's why I killed Mo, so he could not share it with others. I'm not even totally sure if even I have the mental resolve to handle this kind of power, but it's a burden I must live with.
Why didn't you just wipe Mo's mind?
I couldn't take any chances. If power like mine ever fell into the wrong hands, which are any other hands than mine, it could be really bad.
You mean like destroying the Earth and the Moon?
Zack, I've got control of the second beam. The asteroid is now safely going to miss Earth again.
It's not too late, Leia. You can stop this.
But I killed so many people. My father told me by doing that, it would never come to this.
He lied, Leia. He lied. This is what he wanted all along. He never wanted to live in peace with Earth. He just wanted to carry on his bloodline to make the perfect race.
Leia stood there in silence. She knew what I said was true. Most of her believed me, but it looked like a small part still clung to the hope that maybe following her father wasn't wrong.
Look how easily he was willing to toss the Moon aside.
Yes. He's evil. Like my uncle was. But so am I. I have killed. I was so wrong. No human can handle this kind of power.
Yeah, but if you act now, you'll save billions. It's gotta tilt the karma somewhat in your favor.
Yes, Father was wrong. I can't let billions die.
This isn't totally on my head. I never told you to kill my brother.
He was wrong, like you.
Wrong? Wrong? It can't be wrong. I'm a political administrator. I'm not wrong just because some people don't agree with my choices. Actually, by destroying everything but my bloodline, this plan is turning out even better than I anticipated. Actually, I'm betting this was what I had originally planned. Yes, yes, that's it.
Shut this whole operation down now. I'll tell Earth all is well. They'll call off their missiles.
No.
I was talking to Leia, not you.
I will not be ignored.
Sputnik bounded across the room, landing on top of me and driving me to the floor. It hurt, but not nearly as much as Sputnik thought it would. In his rage, he forgot he wasn't the only one in the room wearing souped-up bio-armor. He was on top, but hardly had the advantage. His weight was already leaning forward as he was trying to force me to stay pinned on the ground. I kicked up with my legs, using his momentum to spring him forward. I sent him tumbling off me. Pushed himself to his feet, lunged forward, and wrapped his arms around me.
Gee, I didn't know you were sweet on me.
He squeezed and arched his back, lifting me up in a bear hug.
Nothing like a good Russian bear hug to squeeze the life out of an opponent.
Gave him an A for effort. He really was hurting me. True, his body armor was enhancing his strength, but mine was propping up my endurance, so we were even. I always like to give a man his due. But I saw this move coming, probably before he was sure it was the move he was going to use. As he grabbed me, I was able to keep my arms free and mobile. That meant, while he had the advantage, it was only a slight one. Taking my index fingers, I rammed them into two pressure points right below his nose. He relinquished his grip on me, grabbing his face as I dropped to the ground. Not wanting to give Sputnik any time to recover, I lunged forward, headbutting him dead on in the forehead. And just for good measure, I kicked him in the groin. Hey, the guy was willing to kill billions. He deserved it. I reached down to my ankle holster to pull out my old-fashioned gun. To my surprise, Sputnik beat me to the punch. He had Gus pointed at me. I dove to the ground just as he fired. I rolled for cover, then sprang to my feet.
Harv, how can he use Gus against me?
Melda must have reprogrammed him. It's not really at all surprising. I'm sure Randy gave her access to almost everything. Ah, I'm receiving a message from Gus. He says he's so sorry for firing at you, but he can't help himself.
Tell him I'm not so sorry for shooting back.
My shot hit Gus dead on. It didn't really damage him, but the force of the shot blew Gus out of Sputnik's hand. I pointed my gun between Sputnik's eyes. The next shot is for keeps. Sputnik held his stinging right hand with his left. Limping over to the control panel, he raised his arm.
This isn't over yet.
Oh, I think it is. I pulled the trigger. Just before the bullet was about to hit Sputnik's head, it came to an abrupt halt and fell to the floor.
Oh, tweet. Not again.
Zack, I could not let you kill my father.
Thank you, my loved ones.
Sputnik bent down, picked up Gus, and pointed him at me.
You should have killed me when you had your first shot.
Not my style, unless there's no other way.
Too bad. A true leader does what he wants, when he wants.
Only a deranged one.
Oh, great. Talk the crazy man with the deadly weapon pointed right at you. It amazes me you weren't killed years ago.
Sputnik squeezed the trigger.
Gus, I knew you couldn't kill me.
Sorry, Mr. Zack, sir. I would have killed you, but something is blocking me.
What?
It was me.
Leia walked toward her father.
I certainly cannot let you harm Zack.
Daughter, how could you?
We were so wrong, father. Especially you.
I am never wrong. Only occasionally less right.
I cannot let you harm the Earth or the Moon.
But I only want what's best for everybody.
Leia hugged her father.
No. You only want what's best for you.
Yes. Everybody whose opinion matters.
Leia started to glow with energy.
Get out.
I can't. You're holding me too tight.
I was talking to everybody else. Get out. Take the others with you. I have no intention of hurting anybody else, ever.
What about me?
You don't count. As long as either of us breathe, Earth and the Moon won't be safe. I will not have that.
But I am your father and your leader.
I didn't choose you or vote for you.
Melda telekinetically lifted some of her other children from the ground. She started heading for the door.
Gather the others and run!
Carol and Elena were starting to come around. I bent down and shook each of them.
Come on, ladies! Rise and shine! Quickly!
What hit me? Oh, that's not good.
Elena pushed herself up from the ground.
Depends on how you look at it.
Grab as many apes and people as you can with your minds, and let's get out of here before she blows. Literally.
Elena and Carol picked up those that Melda couldn't carry in a telekinetic net.
Come on, let's go!
We made it out of the building a lot quicker than I thought we would.
How far away do we have to be safe?
Too far.
Melda stopped running and threw open her arms.
I'll create a force field.
Ah! Before I was able to say anything, the fracking and blocking station was engulfed by a burst of explosive energy. The force of the blow knocked us all to the ground. I looked up. Where the station once stood was now a towering mushroom cloud. Wow. I looked around. Everybody was stunned, but not in pieces. I took that as a good sign. Are you all okay?
I'm good.
Better than ever.
Takes more than a little subatomic blast to stop a good gorilla.
I stood up and moved to Melda, who was lying on the ground in front of us. I touched her lightly on the shoulder. Are you okay?
My daughter and husband are dead. But I will live.
Harv, is Earth safe?
Define safe.
Harv?
Yes, the asteroid will miss the planet.
Phew. And it's over.
Well, we still have the little matter of two nuclear warheads heading straight for us.
Harv, put me in contact with Ona ASAP.
Doing it now.
What's going on, Harv?
Things are a bit slow, since she is in secret orbit around Earth with the rest of the World Council.
It didn't take them long to abandon planet. Ona's holographic image broadcast itself from my communicator.
Oh, hi, Zach.
Ona, Earth is safe. Sputnik is dead. So is his daughter, Leia. She was the one who killed all those council members.
That's, good to know, Zach.
You can call back your missiles now. I said, you can call back your missiles now?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah?
I feel bad.
Because?
Really bad now.
Don't tell me.
Okay.
Tell me!
The missiles are non-stoppable and non-recallable.
Non-stoppable?
Well, technically, they will stop, but not until they reach their target and detonate.
Why?
They're nuclear bombs, Zach. That's what they do, hit things and blow up.
Why did you launch non-recallable missiles?
They're a defense against powerful size. We wanted to make sure none of them could trick us into recalling the missiles.
So there's no way out?
Zach, I can assure you, I and the other council members feel really, really, really awkward about this.
At that time, Elektra and her fellow ARC members had joined us in the courtyard. Charander students were also there. The students must have freed her after we left. Elektra raced over, and we embraced. I lifted her off the ground and gave her a kiss.
Did I just hear what I thought I heard?
Afraid so. We're dead unless we can stop two missiles from coming at us.
Hi, Elektra. Nice to see you again. Oh, sorry it can't be under less dire circumstances.
So, Earth is going to destroy the moon?
Afraid so.
Oh, some of this may be my fault.
Some of this?
No use pointing fingers now, Zachary.
Could we crash shuttles into the missiles?
No go. The missiles are intelligent. They would avoid any incoming objects or shuttles.
Then let's use the deflector beam on them.
But you said the control station has been destroyed.
Harv could still control the beam, right, Harv?
Sure, only the missiles are smaller and faster than the killer asteroids the deflector beam is built to be used against.
But you can do it.
Yes. Wait. No.
What is it, yes or no?
Both. I can deflect one of the missiles, but not both of them in time.
Why not? Hit one with one beam, hit the other with a backup beam.
One, it's more complicated to hit a missile than an asteroid.
Yeah, but you're good at math and stuff. You can do it.
True. But two, the feedback from Leia's explosion destroyed the backup beam.
You know, you should have led with that one.
You're right. This probably wasn't the time to build suspense. Sorry about that. I believe I'm feeling a bit of sorrow as I've grown fond of the moon.
Priscilla, any chance you can get a team over to the beam and fix it?
Sure, sweetie. We can have it up and running in 12 hours.
We don't have nearly that much time.
I didn't say it was a good chance.
Sweetie.
It's a pet name. Melda, how many escape shuttles are ready to go?
One.
Ah, that's not very helpful.
Sorry. Planning for failure wasn't one of Bo's stronger points.
How much time before you can prep more shuttles?
30 minutes.
How long until the missiles hit?
20 minutes.
Oh, well, that won't work.
Very good, Zach. I wish I could think away the other missile, but I can't.
That triggered something in my brain. I smiled.
He's happy. Yep, he's finally snapped.
You can't just think them away, even though we're surrounded by the biggest collection of psi power ever? I turned, and Elena and Carol were by my side. Can you guys do it?
It's a relatively small object traveling thousands of kilometers an hour in the vastness of space.
Is that a yes?
Yes!
I know you are powerful, Elena, but not that powerful.
Alone, maybe not. At least not easily. But together we can do it.
Melda just shook her head. What do you think, Carol?
I don't think we got anything to lose, except maybe a bit of pride.
Then do it! Elena was the first to lock and load. She spread open her arms, tilted her head back, and stared deep into the moon sky. Carol was next, mimicking Elena. Melda just shook her head again. Elena looked at her.
Do it!
Melda stepped to the left of Elena and struck a pose very similar.
What's next? We all hold hands and sing Kumbaya?
You got any better ideas?
Sadly, no.
Then you do your job and let the size do theirs.
I'm on it now.
What's happening there? I'm a spoiled billionaire politician. I hate not knowing what's going on.
We're trying something. It's a bit different.
What?
Hara's gonna deflect one of the missiles past the moon.
That doesn't sound that odd. But that only accounts for one of the missiles.
Yeah, the other part of our plan is where things get a wee bit desperate.
What is it, Zach?
Can I just tell you if it works? If not, I'd rather die with dignity.
Zach, it can't be that crazy.
I have Carol, Elena, and Melda trying to think the missile past us.
I stand corrected.
Thria popped her head into the picture.
Greetings, Zach. I heard what Zach said. I don't think the idea is that far-fetched.
Great, we're dead.
I heard that, Zach.
How you ladies doing?
Don't ask.
Too late. Shara, April, and Windy walked up to us.
Let us help.
Be my guest. They joined the others in their poses. Any luck?
It might be easier if you were quiet for a while.
I'll take that as a no.
We need more brain power.
Well, there are a couple thousand more Psi's on the planet.
I am linking them in now.
How many of them?
All of them. They've seen what sitting back and doing nothing has gotten them. They are finally ready to help.
I wasn't sure if Elena had coerced them all or if they'd all seen the light on their own. I figured it was probably something in between. I've learned that there aren't many absolutes in life. The sooner we accept that life is filled with many gray-shaded areas that are neither one thing or the other, but a combination of many things, the better we'll all be. There was silence for a few minutes as the Psi's concentrated. It was as if the entire population of the moon was holding its breath, which, in a way, it was. While the Psi's did their mental linking, I checked in on Harv. He was actually having better success. He'd spotted the lead missile and was locking in on it. When are you going to be ready, Harv?
When I tell you I'm ready.
I turned my attention back to the Psi's. They were all soaked with perspiration. I hate to be a pest, but I don't think we have a lot of time.
Dio, we can see the incoming missile in our mind's eyes, but we can't get a lock on it. The picture is blurry.
We need more Psi's to lend us their energy.
But we're already linking all the Psi's on the moon.
Ona, we need the Earth Psi population to join in. Ona pushed herself back from the table a bit.
That may be a bit tricky.
Why?
They haven't told the general populace.
I'm just surprised they didn't figure that out myself.
Since we couldn't save most of them, we didn't want them to worry. We figured their last moments should be peaceful and blissful. And we didn't want them rushing our shuttle. Really, Zach, I doubt it would work.
I bet it would!
We really don't have anything to lose.
Oh, speak for yourself.
I needed to come up with a way Earth could get their Psi population to link in and help without alerting them how close they came to death. Tell the people it was a mistake.
The government doesn't like to admit making mistakes.
Blame it on a computer error.
Now that we can do.
Great. It's always the computer's fault.
We need to get the SOS out fast.
Faster than fast. Both missiles are now within 4 minutes of impact.
We're broadcasting over the Pahai Pod network now.
Can you feel any difference over there? At first, there was more silence. Then... keep working on it. The minutes passed like seconds. The Psi's and Harv were each trying to lock into their targets. It wasn't easy, but it was all or nothing.
I got it! I got it! I win!
It's not a contest, Harv.
Of course not, though I'm still glad I won.
Just fire the beam.
Already done.
And? Harv?
The beam didn't stop it. It has too much momentum. Doss.
Ladies?
Same here! The missile has way too much force to stop!
Then don't stop it! Squish it! Swat it! Stop it! Make it go boom!
Now that we can do!
Yes, we can!
Well?
Look up!
Every Psi on the planet pointed upward. There was a bright yellow flash in the northwestern sky. I smiled. One down, one to go. There wasn't much time. Okay, Psi Force, we need you to knock out the other missile pronto.
We don't have it locked in yet!
Harp, feed the coordinates through the Pi-Hi Pod system for the Psi's.
On it. Done. Wow. Tech and Psi and Earth and Moon working together to save the moon.
If it works.
That was easy.
Then smash it fast! They all lifted their arms, pointing to the northeastern sky. We were safe. Apropos of nothing, Priscilla looked Electra up and down.
She doesn't look like she's all that.
We did it, Theo!
Carol ran up to me and then leapt into my arms. She gave me a kiss on the cheek.
Was there ever any doubt?
Oh, massive amounts of doubt. More doubt than even I could calculate.
As I put Carol down, Alina came walking up to me.
Zack, I am so glad I didn't kill you the 4 or 5 times I considered it.
How many times have I heard that before?
The next day, Electra and I took the first flight back to Earth. I had spent enough time on the moon. I couldn't get off soon enough. Yeah, I should probably try to rephrase that, but I figure at this point the damage is done. Carol, on the other hand, had such a great time linking with her fellow size that she decided to spend 2 more weeks on the moon. Being the good boss that I am, I gave her the time with pay. She and Elena wanted to hang out and see what they could learn from each other. No way I was going to argue with that. As for Elena, I had a little chat with her before I left. I wasn't totally certain she didn't glean any knowledge she shouldn't have from her cousin Leia's last moments. She guaranteed me she hadn't, backing up that statement by noting if she had, she probably would have turned us all into turnips. But then when I told her, for all I knew, she did turn us into turnips and then turned us back, she laughed uneasily. For the time being, I had to trust her. Sometimes that's all you can do. I figured this wouldn't be the last I saw of Elena. I hope that was a good thing. Melda went with us, with the intent to turn herself over quietly to the World Council. She confessed to her role in everything that went on. She even admitted that much of Harv's and my unusual behavior on the moon was due to her and Leia tweaking our interface. The scientist in her found it fascinating that while Harv did make me much harder to mentally dominate, the interface between us also made us more susceptible to bickering and violence. I told her that due to her role in saving the Earth, they would go easy on her. Gates, the World Council might even give her a decoration for playing with my mind. Melda wasn't sure she deserved leniency after what she did. Having lost her husband and her daughter, though, I figured she'd been punished enough. Shannon Cannon was declared innocent and offered a job as Ona's bodyguard. Last I heard, she was still pondering the offer, as she also had a chance to star in her own reality show. The World Council, in its finite wisdom, decided to make Shara the new head administrator of the moon. They gave her a lot of credit for tipping them off to the moon's attack. I figured she was actually as good a choice as any. The really good news was that Priscilla would be acting as her vice administrator. Maurice was to become the moon's special spokesape. This was a move to hopefully improve human, Psi, and ape relationships. It seemed that all sides were trying. Finally, the World Council even promised to strongly consider the moon's freedom next year, especially if none of the moon's populace leaked about the World Council's attack on the moon. Shockingly, none of them seemed anxious to mention it. I guess there are certainly some advantages to a tight society, though Harv would note that it wasn't so much that the society was tight, it was that none of them wanted to cause trouble. Earthside, the media had gotten a bit of a whiff of an idea that something more was up with a missile launch than a computer error. The Jon Stewart clone made fun of the entire situation on the Twice Daily show, doing a funny little enactment of Nixon blaming a computer glitch for his little Watergate problem. Fortunately, before the story could really grow legs and run, some celebrity got caught rigging his automated car to drive over the speed limit and was arrested. While the officer, who happened to be an android, was reading The Star His Rights, the star began ranting about how androids weren't really people and therefore weren't fit to guard people. That story then knocked any hint of two worlds almost coming to an end completely out of the news. I don't even think PBSNet was covering it. As Earth came into view, Electra must have noticed the smile on my face.
What's up, mi amor? You look pensive.
Nah, just thinking.
Ha ha.
Just summing things up.
Ah, the classic end-of-story information dump.
Good to see Earth again, isn't it?
I forgot how beautiful it is, in one piece.
Don't tell me you were worried.
They say never to let them see you sweat, but trust me, I was. Weren't you?
Women don't sweat. They glow.
So weren't you glowing like you were radioactive?
Nope.
You must have been recovering from being frozen.
No, I just have faith in you.
Glad somebody does.
You did an amazing thing.
Actually, the size gorillas and Harv did most of the work. I just kind of managed.
You don't get it, do you?
Harv does accuse me of being rather dense.
Rather dense? You make Iridium seem fluffy and light.
You got the peoples of the moon and the earth to communicate, cooperate, and work together to stop standing on the sidelines and to save two planets. That's an amazing accomplishment.
Saving the planets, getting the people to talk, and then getting them to do something?
All three. But I'm most amazed about the latter two.
Well, they do say the word processor is mightier than the sword, so I guess communication is the ultimate weapon. We just need to know how to use it. For good, not evil.
Don't worry, Zack. As long as you have me by your brain, I'll be able to help you communicate with the entire world. I guess that makes me the ultimate weapon.
As scary as that may be on some levels, Harv, it's nice to know that the world's most advanced cognitive processor can do something other than balance my checkbook. I smiled as I looked out on Earth, growing larger and larger in the window. It certainly was a nice-looking planet. I wasn't really sure why, but it looked like it was going to continue to be my job to make sure it stayed that way.
The Blue-Haired Bombshell is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2007 by John Zakor. Recorded by arrangement with Daw Books Incorporated. Production copyright 2013, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication prohibited. Performed by Richard Rowan, David Coyne, Nanette Savard, Danny Gavigan, Nora Ashradi, Ken Jackson, Elizabeth Jernigan, Colleen Delaney, Lily Beacon, Katie Karkov, Kimberly Gilbert, Casey Platt, Tim Getman, Yasmin Twazon, Michael Glenn, Sherry Berg, Tracy Oliveira, Christopher Sheeran, Dylan Lynch, David Harris, Michael John Casey, Nick DePinto, Eric Messner, Alyssa Wilmoth, Nathaniel Perry, and Mort Shelby. Directed and adapted for Graphic Audio by Nathaniel Perry. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. If you enjoyed The Blue-Haired Bombshell, be sure to look for the next episode in the Nuclear Bombshell series, The Flaxen Femme Fatale, available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Around you there shall surely be, born to be strong, raised to be free.
Mama, why are my ears so small and so round? Why aren't they like yours? Why are they like Daddy's?
Because, my dear, you are very special.
Special, Mama?
Your father is special. That is why you are, too.
But why?
He's from another world, dear. A world just a little bit different from ours. There are many such worlds, many such existences, universes. They lie side by side, touching as the skins touch on an onlyck. Each skin subtly different, yet subtly the same. We can't see the worlds that interpenetrate ours, but they are there, and they are real to the people or beings living there.
You ever hear me tell about the old days? I remember it as though it were this afternoon. I killed round ears with my sword. Did you know that?
I think I guessed it.
Hard to kill, they were. Great fighters. But the worst of it was they had magic. Weapons such as no sane mind ever imagined. Not swords and crossbows, no. Magical.
Tell me.
Explosive thunders that blew apart men and horses. Lightning that struck with a red bolt and went right through men and war horses and good solid armor. It was as if we were weeds and grass before a fiery scythe. Do you understand what it is to face such things?
You say I'm one of them.
You may be one of them, son, but you haven't their magic. But you will have, won't you?
I don't know.
Don't kill him!
I never saw anything like that move. You just grabbed my blade right out of my hand. You must be.
You better believe it.
Oh, that hardly seems fair. Magic?
You prate of fair? You who attack nearly unarmed and unskilled boys? You who prey on the weak without a sign of conscience?
Well, kill me then! Kill me and get it over with!
Kill him, youngster!
Yes, strike!
Kill him, Cal!
I give him his life.
What? Huckleberry, may I ask why?
Because he's only a man. Only one highwayman.
What are you, daft?
But there are others, many others, as your son has told me.
What are you blethering about?
He can spread the word, he and his wife, about us, what we did today. We won't allow boys to be pressed any longer, or girls. We won't allow anyone to rob or to steal and to kill as he has done.
We'll do it! We'll do it!
Gods, but I believe you'll make a leader yet. Me, I'd never have thought of that.
Kel, I found... I think I see the dragon!
What?
The dragon! I think it's dead!
Oh, it's dead, Kel! It's got licked in a fight! Oh, those scales! Oh, we're rich, Kel! Come on up and...
Don't! Come away from there!
Kel! Kel, he's going to get me! Kel, he's going to get me! He's climbing up! Kel, he's climbing!
Kelvin of Rudd, Book 1, Dragon's Gold.
Available now in graphic audio.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.